On today's Restump podcast, we'll preview the upcoming Western Derby. Fremantle Dockers going in underdogs, but somehow in our hearts, favourites. Got Jesse Hogan making his debut for Greater Western Sydney. We'll see if that's anything. A couple other bits and pieces, but right now, let's start wearing purple. Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah, start wearing purple, wearing purple.
Welcome to the Restump Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, and as always, I'm joined by a man who has assured me that preparation will prevent poor performance today in the podcast. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes, hello Jojo, hello listeners. Correct Jojo, but that's never. I say that every week, and it hasn't rung true yet, has it? So, hope for a change.
I feel like you've made a promise this week that you're somehow better prepared than you've ever been before.
Yeah, I have spent a bit of time on this. We've got to get the derbies right. We love the derbies. We've got to get this right. So, I've spent a bit of time. I don't think I've got. I'm probably, that work harder, work smarter, not harder. So I think I've done 10 times the work and I've got nothing more than usual.
I'm feeling a bit of a vibe from you this week, though. You've had the social media posts out, the Nat Nui, the Lazy Boy. We've had the Monopoly table being flipped upside down. I don't know. Yep. You got a bit of a bee in a bonnet. Are you looking forward to this one?
Oh, I love derbies, Jojo. These are my favourite days of the year, the derbies. And I love everything about them. I love the lead-up. I love the week of the sledging, the banter, the pre-game planted excuses from West Coast fans so they can, I told you so, if they need it. And I love the nervousness and the anticipation of actual game day. And the sounds as well, Jojo. The early echo around the stadium, if West Coast lose the coin toss, the booing, that echoes around the stadium. And you know what I love? I love the West Coast players, fans, how they barrack on their players using their jumper numbers. Have you heard that? Mighty effort number 27. You'll catch one soon. That type of stuff. And if they're behind at three quarter time, oh man, that reverberating roar of the Range Rovers, Jojo, the smell of the diesel as they leave the stadium at high speed, the smorgasbord for the senses, Jojo. I can't wait. I love these derbies. I cannot wait for Sunday. I just hope there's a bit of niggle, bit of angst in there. That'll just top it off.
So I think it was Paul Hazelby that wrote the article, didn't he? Or was quoted in an article saying he wanted the line in the sand game back, the demolition derby, a bit of that.
Finally, someone stepping up and saying, what we all need. It's gone away. It's the derbies have died down in recent years. Hazelby's doing his best to get it back. And I love the way, in brackets he said, no fisticuffs or no, punch-ons. But you can just tell by reading that, he's like winking at the same time. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Either he's got a toe crossed or the fingers crossed behind the back.
Yeah, I love it. I love it that he come out with that because that's what we need.
Well, we need to do something, don't we? Because our recent derby history isn't flash.
Pretty ordinary, isn't it? It's been disgraceful. But, this is probably as good a chance as we've had in quite a while, isn't it?
It is. Is it the last 10 we've been done in?
We'll go straight to the head-to-head now then. 51 games. 51 games between the two. Freo 120, West Coast of 131. We lost the last 10, as you just said. Over those last 10 matches, we've lost by an average of 37 points. Offensively, we've averaged just 59 points. And on only three of those 10 games, those last 10 games, we kicked more goals than points. So our inaccurate kicking, it's
That's not necessarily though, a derby thing, though, is it?
No, it's not new. Definitely not new. Speaking about inaccurate kicking, our second last encounter, 2019 round 16, we got done by 91 points. We kicked two goals 19.
How's that even possible?
That is. Although, there were six rush behind, so 2 goals, 13. No, that's much better. The culprits, JJ, Brandon Matera, 3 points. Cam McCarthy, 1 goal, 3. Fifey's getting a little bit nervous when he hears that. Where's McCarthy and Brandon Matera now? So, and the last encounter was really a nothing game. Round seven, last year, 2020. Frio, 5 goals, 2.32. Lost to the Eagles, 9 goals, 8.62. Margin of 30 points. I put it down to compromised quarter length, Jojo. They hurt us enormously. We'd been training for stamina. And, we were doing our best work late. So that's what I'm putting that down to.
Can we take anything out of the preseason games? We went 1-1, split them with them in the preseason this year.
Yeah, the only thing we took out of those was a shed load of injuries. So I don't want to take it. I don't want to take anything out of those games, Jojo.
We'll forget about them.
Yeah, definitely.
Apart from Brennan Cox, you'd assume that we'd be going in pretty much unchanged. There was a tweet from Docker's social media asking if it's Tucker time yet. Does that give us a bit of a lead into the fact that maybe Tucker is close to being called up? I thought JL said in the last week's press conference that he'd probably play some Peel time.
That's interesting, isn't it? That is interesting for him to say that, or for the social media guys to say that. They wouldn't be putting that out there off their own bat. They'd be they would have to run that past the decision makers first. So that could be Tucker time, Jojo. But
we had Connor Blackley as the medical sub last week. Yep. Is there a chance that he just comes in and he acts as the medical sub? Tom Lynch style, not 100% fit. He'll take half an hour to warm up, and if we need him in the third quarter, he'll be there sometime in the fourth.
Right. You might, yes. That could be it. So you're saying Connor Blakely back to Peel and Tucker comes in as the sub?
Well, possibly. I don't know. I don't think you change anyone from the starting 22. Who deserves to miss out?
No, that's right. No, you wouldn't.
You know, maybe, an Akers or an Aish? I don't think so. I think they've done enough.
They were right. They were good.
And the mids, you can't. Well, you're not going to drop Mundy, Sarong, Fife or Brayshaw. They're not going anywhere.
Who's coming out?
So it's hard
unless
to see who's coming out,
right? Unless it's Cox. If he doesn't get up.
But then, and as well, though, if your Cox is coming out, you're more likely to replace with another defender, are you not? I mean, the West Coast, all we hear about is this much-vaunted, triple threat up forward with Oscar Allen, Jack Darling, and what's the other guy's name?
Kennedy.
Kennedy. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So you'd think you'd replace him with another defender, but who knows with Frio? I mean, they defend as a unit. It might not be a thing. But, yeah, interesting that was the bit of tweeting that was done by the club, because I thought Tucker might have been a few weeks off.
To throw another sort of fervor in there to, get everybody guessing. Before we go any further, Jojo, we have to talk about last week's performance by West Coast. Do we not?
Well, I don't think anyone associated with West Coast would want to talk about that ever again.
No, they don't. But it was as poor a performance as we've seen in the competition for many years by any club. I think that's where that would rate. I think I sent it to you during that game. Geelong's list is about 27 years of age. Okay, I think the list they put on the team they put on the park last week, 28 years of age. The Eagles were slaughtered by Dad's Army, Jojo. They got done by the pensioners. And I think now, after that performance last week, Malcolm is now the second biggest blight on the AFL. Is that fair to say? I think that's fair.
even if it's not, it sounds like something you'd say.
So that's right. Definite weakness. They've got some definite weakness in their team. Look, they had a very, very poor 2020. They didn't handle the COVID climate, which is strange, because I would have thought with the measures that were put in place to deal with the COVID issues and all that, I would have thought that would have given them a bit of an advantage and experience. You know, social distancing, restraining orders, same, isn't it? So I think they've been very, very disappointing now for 18 months. I think they've been terrible. But if I was a West Coast fan, I wouldn't be overly disheartened. I think everybody saw more than enough that they're still on track, Jojo, for Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics, the downhill skiing. Oh, I love Derby Week, Jojo. Love Derby Week. We better move on.
Well, much like every game of footy probably this year in the AFL, it's won and lost in the midfield. All we hear about now is West Coast injury lists and how, you know, how long it is, how unfortunate it is. They are missing Yo and Shuey. Who, how can they possibly match us through the midfield area?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't go that far. They've still got, what have they still got? McCartney and Ringo Starr. They've still got two other Beatles. look, to be honest, I'm kind of with you. But then again, Mundy, Fife, Brayshaw, Sarong against Kelly, Gaff, Dom Sheed, and is it Redden? Is he in there? So it's not going to be a whitewash. But if we don't control the midfield, we'll be in huge strife.
Do they have a bit of an issue with Fife and Mundy, do you reckon? Because Yo's usually the guy that they kind of send to Fife, not as a tag, but just as a straight-up matchup because he's got that physicality and the size to kind of go with him. But, you know, Kelly can't probably match it with Fife.
No. No, that's right.
You know, maybe maybe a Jack Redden can run with him, but, I mean, Fife, you would think, would find a way to monster him in the end. I just don't see who they've got to match up with him going through the midfield. That whether they pull a guy like Shepherd out and have him run with him all day, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even think he could. I think their only tagger was that Mark Hutchings. Well, I think he tried it for a while, but yeah, that didn't work out well. He's not in the team.
Well, I think he got offered to us this year by his agent because he's only a real marginal addition to the Eagles list at the end of the season, so.
Ah, okay. So that tells you how good he is. But I think it's pointless trying to curtail Fife's influence. He's going to, as you said, he's going to find a way to get amongst it. I would have thought you'd go to Mundy. I would have thought you'd, because I don't think you're going to get value for money going to Fife, trying to stop Fife. But you may be able to tag Mundy. And I'd hazard a guess, I'd be suggest that he's never been tagged before.
Yeah, no, but if you don't have someone to put a body at least on Fife at stoppage, he's just going to absolutely crucify you.
But on that midfield, who, as you said, who's going to be able to do it anyway?
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's what I mean. They'd normally have a Yo. That he's their big-bodied midfielder. The rest of the guys aren't that big. So no. It'd be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah, it will be.
If someone does get tagged this week, who do you think? I mean, we've seen Brayshaw in previous weeks. We've seen Fife. I think it was Adelaide went to Fife.
Yeah.
What happens this week, do you reckon?
I think it's Mundy. I think that's the logical one, to be honest. He's the one that's been setting up the attacks and you know, pinpoint passes, that all that. If I was West Coast, I'd be going to him and putting as much work into him as you can do. And because and that's the thing, as I just said, I don't think he's been tagged before. How will he handle it? You know?
I'm sure he's been tagged at some point.
Yeah, maybe he has, but I think he would be the one that you would go to and risk Brayshaw and Fife getting off the chain.
Yeah. Oh, because I realise the Eagles are going in favourites, but you just look at those midfield matchups and you think to yourself, if you can shut down Gaff on a wing, if that's where he ends up playing, like, they don't really have much else. I mean, Kelly's decent, but I mean, you look at the guys that we've had playing all year and the form they've been in. I don't know. I'm pretty confident going in that our midfield can not only mix it with them, but probably give it to them.
Well, if you think that goes a long way to winning the game, doesn't it? You know, if we get out of the midfield, then we're a massive chance. So,
well, the other part of the midfield is the ruck battle. So, Lazy Boy Nick Natanui up against in-form ruckman, top ten player in the comp, Sean Darcy. He's been absolutely smashing it the last 3 weeks. Not only in, you know, getting forward and kicking goals, but his ruck work's been really, really good. His physicality, the way he's been throwing himself in and around the ground in contests has been awesome. What a test for him coming up against, you know, if you're being fair in terms of his ruck work, Nick Nat is top of the tree in terms of guys going around the AFL. So it's going to be a really good test for Darcy this week.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, we have to expect Nick Nat to come out and try and make a statement. And, you know, all week, all we've been hearing is the Eagles are a proud club and they'll rectify things. You know, well, to me, JJ, pride's a pleasure resulting from those who enjoy their own bathwater beverage. I think Nick Nat's been stung this week and I think he's been embarrassed. So we've got to expect him to really come out because he's too vain to put in a repeat performance, JJ. Way too vain.
I I don't know, when was the last time you reckon you saw him cover the ground and get to every contest in the last, I don't know, 3-4 years?
Yep.
He just, I don't know if he has the tank. He doesn't have the ability anymore. Like, he's a massively impactful player when he's at the contest. But I think the criticisms laid on him are probably fair, but maybe there's not much he can do about it.
Maybe not. Maybe not. But he's going to not, I'll guarantee he's not going to leave anything out there.
Well, I just think it leaves him open to be exploited, especially by a ruckman who's proven now over the course of this season that can get forward and kick goals. So
yeah, that's a good point.
If he can get forward and leave Nat Nui in his wake, and then he creates more mismatches in our forward line. I mean, McGovern's already not there, so they're undermanned. So they're going to be calling on someone who's maybe not as familiar with, you know, their system of defence as what McGovern is. Because I'm sure he's a leader back there. He'd instruct others, you know, when to roll off, who to slide to, whatever it is. They have to be a little bit, at least a little bit vulnerable back there.
Yeah, you think so, wouldn't you? Shannon Hearn's coming in, isn't he? So I think he's coming in. But no, you're probably right. You're probably right. McGovern really is the sort of the lockdown down there, isn't he? He just the general, if you want to call him that. So yeah, you're probably close. You're starting to win me over, JJ. What price are we? I might be parting with a few dollars here. So,
I think the key for us as well is the defence. I mean, we joke about the three talls for West Coast, but they have been good this year. So it's a big game for our tall defenders. Now that we've got Logue, Ryan, and hopefully Cox gets through, it looks like he's going to get through.
Yeah.
Those three are going to play a key role for us in shutting down and then also doing what they've been doing in previous weeks and distributing.
Yeah, I think two of them. I think if Oliver Allen and he's flying. Oliver Allen's flying. And if
Oliver Allen?
What's his name? Is it Oliver? What's his name? Have I messed his name up? I've forgotten his name.
The $900,000 man. You forgot his name. That's all right. You can just call him Oliver.
Oliver. He's going to be Oliver from now on. Oliver's flying, JoJo. He is flying. Josh Kennedy's coming back, and he's been in hot form since he's been in the side.
Yeah.
Logan Ryan. They got to obviously do the heavy lifting. If Cox is there, if he's not there, I think Ethan Hughes has got to step up this week. I think he's got to fill the holes, JoJo. Plug the holes and stand in front of the, stand in front of a Kennedy, put himself in those positions. I'll tell you what, I've got a strategy here though, JoJo. I've got a real good strategy. I reckon Jack Darling. We send Crowden to Jack Darling. The crumbing defender, JoJo.
Just get front and centre to every contest. Is that what you reckon?
Let Jack have the skies. He can go on do the aerial stuff. We'll just pick it up when it hits the ground. Crowden will get 30 touches.
The Conker truck goes to Liam Ryan, you reckon?
He's not back, is he? No,
I think he's back, isn't he?
He's not back. No.
Okay, I thought he might have been.
He goes to Jamie Cripps.
Okay.
If Liam Ryan is back, yeah, the Conker truck goes there, but otherwise he goes to Jamie Cripps. So
you realize it's Oscar Allen, don't you?
Oscar, not Oliver. Yeah. That's Oliver for now.
As far as our forwards go, I think Caleb Sarong earlier in the week saying that we underrate the work that Lachie Schultz does in and around the forward line. The leading up into space, creating space for Tabs and the other forwards, the forward pressure. And the playing group itself was really happy when Lachie was able to kick four goals on the weekend, because it's a bit of a reward for maybe this stuff that the ordinary football supporter like ourselves doesn't notice on a weekly basis. Yeah. Do you reckon that's fair that we've probably been overlooking some of the stuff he's been doing?
I kind of don't. I think that sort of when a player comes out and says one of his teammates, we know what he's like within the walls of the club and he's been underrated by everyone else. I think that's sort of the go-to praise piece for teammates, for just to do that in the media. You know, I don't really think anyone has really underestimated him. But we've all been waiting for him to, what do you say, sort of that unconditional buy-in to his role and perform it consistently. I think we've all known what he can do, and because he's shown it. But I just think we've needed to see that consistency. And I'm still, like you said last week, the next three weeks will tell us where we are. And I think it will tell us what rating he should own.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think
you can put a few other guys in that basket as well. I mean, we've had a good little run here. We've won three on the trot. everyone's firing all cylinders, the Colliers, the Schultzes, all these blokes.
That's right.
I think the performance over the next 5 weeks when we play three really good sides,
yes,
that's going to let us know what we've really got. Because that's right. When you've got to start putting out those consistent performances against the better teams, and you've got to be able to do it week in, week out.
Exactly my point. So how do you say – so it's a bit dangerous saying Schultz's underrated at this point. Say that in 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time.
Yeah. You know? No, I agree. I think that's a good point. Someone who's not underrated but I would say is definitely underperforming is Michael Walters. Now, you sprung to his defence the other day on our review pod, but there's been a bit of chatter around, you know, and I think it's a little bit fair to question, you know, what's going on with him. He is one of our top five players. Whoever wants to argue, you cannot argue that. When he's up and going, he's something else.
Yeah.
But at the moment...
Probably top three, two. Top two even.
Yep. We're not getting the best out of Michael Sonny Walters.
No, we're not. And I'm going to defend him again to some extent. I agree with what you're saying. Things haven't been great there since he's come back from his hamstring. But like I said in the pod last week, I reckon I generally saw signs of it, JoJo. I reckon I saw signs that it's just starting. He's starting to turn it around in terms of just glimpses. There was nothing, you know, outstanding, but I just saw a bit of a change in attitude at times. I just can't get over those last, as you were saying, how good he is, those last couple of years where, remember those games where he dragged us back in and got us over the line?
He was having those games where he'd have 30 and 3.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't lose that talent. You can misplace your intentions or you can fall away from your disciplines. He gets his intentions back. He gets disciplined again. He'll regain that elite status overnight. And as I said, I genuinely believe I saw glimpses of it last week. I think he's bottomed out, and I reckon now's the time to support him and get on, and back him in. So, and look, it's probably going to be hard this week because against West Coast, he hasn't really. It's probably not one of his most favourite teams to play against. He averages 15 touches, 2 goals. However, if he does that this week, his job's done because it'll be an improvement on what he's done in recent weeks. And if he's getting 15, 18 touches, kicking a couple of goals, you know his score involvements are going to be off the chart as well. So I'm backing him in, JoJo. I'm not giving up on him. And I think now's the time to really get around him because I think it's about to change.
I think the problem for me with him is he's not a good moment type player. He's not the kind of player that you want. Oh, no, well, he did this at the 10-minute mark of the second quarter and this at the 2-minute mark of the third quarter. He's a guy that we've grown to be able to, or grown accustomed to be able to rely upon.
Yeah.
To be consistent across the whole four quarters and like a really strong contributor across the whole four quarters. Now, I'm not sure. I can't help but think that there's still a little bit of angst on his part toward the coach for the fact that he's playing what seems to be more of a full-time forward role. I think that there's still some residual issue there.
You reckon?
Well, you put yourself in his shoes for a second.
Yeah.
And when you think back to the moments last year when Fife was out injured and Sonny came in as captain. He came in. Like, he was running through the midfield. And as you just said, he was tearing it up. Yeah. People were talking Sonny Walters, you know, top 30, top 40 player in the league. He's kicking goals, getting touches. And then now we're asking him to go and settle in the forward line. I don't know, it's a funny one. I mean, we've all got an ego. We all like to be, you know, a big part of things. Is maybe a part of the problem that he wants to be a bigger part of things in terms of, you know, the headline success that we're having rather than playing a role that would serve the team better?
Yeah, I mean, I guess only he knows that. But maybe is it a bit like that we were talking about David Mundy last week where people had the audacity to suggest that we're restricting the development of the youngsters in the midfield because he's there. But you don't – but we're playing Mundy where he needs to be played, where he's of absolute benefit to us, highest and best use to us.
Is Mundy stalling the career of Michael Walters?
No. What I'm saying is maybe we're not getting the highest and best use out of Michael Walters because we're not using him in the position that would be of most benefit to us and to him. You know?
What?
What? Why can't we allow him to do his thing where, you know, he is that ridiculously elite player where he's running through the midfield and then and getting forward? You know,
well, but it's all about available midfield minutes, isn't it? I mean, you can't have 6-7 guys running through the midfield for 3/4 of the game, 80% of the game. It just doesn't work.
Isn't it a thing where your midfielders, when they're youngsters, they're usually, you know, in other positions? So could a Brayshaw, could a Sarong go forward and play Sonny's role for now?
Maybe.
Is that?
No, well, you know, maybe. But, I mean, like, that's quite obviously not what the coach wants. And that the point I was trying to bring up is there kind of a friction between the coach and the player on each idea of which one wants the other person to do what.
Yeah, you make a good point.
Anyway, I think it's worth bringing up because you want to see a player like Sonny performing every single week. He's a special player. And it's not – I don't want to get all down the dumps and make out something that it's not. It's not sad. No. But, I mean, he should be performing at a hell of a lot higher level than what he has been so far this year. And something needs to be done so that he's able to kind of show what he can do. That's what I think.
Yeah, you're probably right. Either way, I think it's coming though, Jojo.
Yeah.
I really do.
With the COVID restrictions in full force this week, masks still on and 4 square meter rules in tow, would you rather an Eagles home derby played with or without home fans or West Coast Eagle fans? Because it's going to be predominantly them. What, it's going to be like 90-95% West Coast if we're up and going, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I guess it depends on really what you desire, because the reality is there's a genuine possibility you can have your cake and eat it too. 3/4 time we might get that, Jojo. We might get the West Coasters for 3/4 and we're in front. They've nicked off. No, we might get both in the one game. I want fans there. I want them all there.
Are you happy to beat West Coast as well as the noise of affirmation?
Yes, that would make the victory sweeter.
Umpires for the weekend are Dalgleish, Margetts and Johansson. 3 Western Australian-based umpires, 2 of them with a reputation, unfair or not, for being a little bit biased towards the Dirty Birds.
Yeah, they have been, haven't they? I don't know. Yeah, again, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it does. That's the narrative, and we'll run with that. You know what I'm just hoping for? I'm just hoping we just get, I don't care who the umpires are, just get a well-umpired game, consistency from the start to finish. And, you know, Jack Darling's got to hang on to it for less than a bit of a second to pay a mark. But you know what? I always have a chuckle when a West Coast player gets tackled and the umpire shouts, "No prior." Yeah, good one. There's not a player alive that's put on a West Coast jumper that doesn't have multiple priors, Jojo.
I reckon you want to beat him in front of a crowd. And I really want a crowd. I want a full crowd there on the weekend because I'm not saying we should go in favourites or we should be cock-a-hoot thinking we're going to get in there and roll them. But in terms of the last few derbies and the last few years, I can't remember a better set of circumstances for the boys in purple to roll up to Optus Stadium.
Yep.
We've won 3 in a row. Midfield's up and flying. Forward line's starting to come together a bit. Defence is kind of getting back to what it was last year. I reckon we're primed to have a crack at them, and nothing would make me happier than doing it in front of 60-odd thousand West Coast fans.
I'm with you. I'd love that. That would just be, look at that wound. Let's rub some salt in it. So, I'd love that. That would be great. Yeah, and anyway, regardless who's home game, whatever, I want full crowds here. It makes it better. It makes
it better. Yeah, it changes the way you watch it on telly as well.
Definitely, yep. So
it gets quite sleepy and it feels like a training run when there's no one there, I reckon.
Yeah, like our game last week.
Yeah. So we've come to that point where that futile point of the discussion about the game where I'll ask you to make a prediction, a result and margin. I'll give you mine first. I think Freo will get up by 7 points.
Freo by 7 points. Okay. I'll give you a prediction that's the biggest living certainty on the day, Jojo. Jack Darling will get multiple goals from free kicks of his own or his teammates down the ground. And that is as certain as finding Tim Kelly forward of the ball. That's how certain that. That's how certain that is. I'm going Freo by 13 points, and I would love Mundy to win the medal. But
is it is there still a medal? I can't remember. Is there a medal? Is there a medal for both teams now?
There's a Ben Oscar Allen medal. Ben Allen Oscar Allen Ben Allen Glendinning medal. Fife will turn it on.
He will. I really think Nat Fife will turn it on. This is Nat Fife's week. You look out, West Coast.
33 touches, 3 goals, Jojo. There you go.
And hypothetically, because I do like hypotheticals, let's say Freo make a bit of a mess of West Coast somehow.
Yep.
Do you reckon Adam Simpson's chair is starting to get a little bit warm underneath him?
Okay.
Well, when do you start to feel the pressure? Coming off a 100-point flogging in Geelong, you know, we've pushed all our chips into the middle of the table here. We've gone and recruited Tim Kelly, paid big money.
Yes. His seat will get a bit warm. West Coast fans will get Daniel Kerr to set it alight, JoJo. the blowtorch will be on him for sure. But even if we win this game, he's going to feel a bit of heat, I think.
I think so as well. You can feel the natives growing a little bit restless. It's a bit like Mark McGowan blaming the Commonwealth government for the hotel quarantine. Once you start looking for someone else and trying to look to blame someone else, and this week it's all a bit about injuries and this guy's not here and that guy's not here and this went wrong. When you start trying to blame external kind of sources, that's when you know there's a few issues going on.
Uncle Buck, JoJo, pass the buck. You're right. The minute you do start blaming, looking for other reasons, and look at the West Coast, they're not travelling that well, apart from the home games where they, flat trackers. They've got some weakness. They've got when Shuey's not there, they've got no strength, like toughness in the midfield. They're butter soft.
And if we lose this game, I'm going to delete this podcast from everywhere I can find to delete it.
I'm going to duplicate it. We'll just keep going. That's what it's like Donald Trump, Joe. Get it wrong, just keep going.
Speaking of passing the buck, we passed Jesse Hogan on to GWS in the offseason, and he's going to make his debut on the weekend. I don't know why. Like he just always seems to make news and always seems to trigger us as Dockers fans. Is it time that it doesn't? Is it time that it shouldn't? We should not care anymore, should we not?
No, I'm sort of in his corner. I know. It didn't go.
I'm not saying I'm not in his corner, but I'm saying he's not in our team anymore.
No,
why do I care?
That's right. It's good to see him back, but our parting with him was amicable. We mourn the loss of what he could have brought to Freo, but we've moved on. I wish him all the best, and I hope he gets his footy career back on track. But then again, I hope he fails miserably if he ever plays us. But I don't. I'm happy he's back and I'm going to watch him, but it doesn't worry me one way or the other. I'm over all that now. I was dirty at the time when we lost him, but you move on.
Something else I saw over the course of the week was some Collingwood footage of a young guy, Caleb Poulter, making his debut this week.
Yeah.
And I feel like these debut videos are getting more and more overproduced and ridiculous by the week. We had the Josh Tracy fake meeting with JL where he was going to add to his weaponry to get a game for Freo.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, he was just getting a game that week anyway, and we're going to record that conversation, so that's good.
Yeah.
Now Caleb Poulter for Collingwood, he's had to hit a free throw to get a game in the ones this week. I can't – I don't know how much more of these I can take.
Hey, what? He had to, what, in basketball?
Yeah.
He had to, whose idea was that?
I don't know. It's either a really bad idea from the marketing department or it's a real solid reflection of how Collingwood are going at the moment and why they're finding themselves in the spot they're in. If you're making your selection decisions on a basketball game.
This is ridiculous. The social media age, JoJo. That's what it's for then, social media, isn't it? To run, that's
well, because it's not good enough anymore just to call mum and have the tears from mum, because we've seen that 400 times.
Yeah, we've got them. Yeah. What next? Martin Scorsese's on the club list?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. We've had a long-term player on our list who's yet to debut. I'm talking, of course, of Luke Valenti. Have you got any ideas for the Fremantle social media guys? How can we possibly announce his debut if and when it comes? Or how can we orchestrate some kind of stunt to create just a bit of buzz online?
One tweet. Valente's in. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
What, we're not calling anyone?
No, just Valente's in, show up Saturday and watch him. That's it. No, actually, I was thinking about it. It's difficult to think of, you know, things that we could do, but if Sean Darcy ever goes out, then for him to get back in the team, he's got to do one media interview without ballsing it up or maybe doing something awkward. Did you see he got the thing stuck in his ear, in his mask, trying to get his mask off, the earpiece come out, and it was all over the place. Then he's dropping F-bombs in other ones. And
I'm not sure how much you've had to do with big blokes in footy, but every big guy I've played with in footy, it seems like the message from the brain just takes that little bit longer to get to every other extremity of the body. They're the funniest, goofiest guys on the team, but at the same time, you wouldn't trust them to go and do a television spot like that. I reckon we just send someone else next time.
Send someone else. Yeah, I think you're right. They are a bit. Connor Blakely, Jado, to get back in the team, he has to hit a target or get within 10 metres of hitting a target.
We just spit that out.
That's a bit harsh. Sorry, Connor Bogan. That's a bit harsh. But let's get back to just simplifying it. Yeah, so he's getting the game. Ring mum, film that if you want. But these productions, these Hollywood productions now, Scorsese, Spielberg, bloody hell. It's gone too far.
I think it's all a bit contrived, isn't it? We don't need it.
We don't need it. It's Americanizing it, and we don't need it.
Well, I don't even think they bother doing it over there, do they?
They probably don't.
Anyway, do you have anything else before I bid you farewell?
No, just looking forward to it, Joe. I'm really, really looking forward. It's going to be a great game.
If we get allowed to go to the game this weekend, I'm going to try and find a ticket somewhere. I'd love to go to this game.
This is going to be a ripper. And surely there's got to be crowd. If there's no crowd, I don't know what we do, but there's got to be a crowd here tomorrow night. Is it tonight or tomorrow night we get the restriction things announcement?
I think it's 1 minute past 12 on Saturday morning.
Because COVID knows what time it is. There's got to be crowds. There's no way. Imagine the Heidi will cop if he stops crowds going to a derby.
Well, it's hard to believe they're going to allow a full crowd.
It's so stupid.
But and if that's the case, then the decision's probably already made because you'd need to tell ticketing bodies or sporting bodies, whatever, that how they're going to distribute the tickets. So, who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Maybe go and ring the miners, Jojo, see if we're going to be.
They seem to find out first.
They find out before everyone else.
All right. Well, before you turn anyone off with your COVID opinions, can I ask you this question? Are you still a believer in the re-stump?
Oh, look, the Eagles forever tell the world they're a proud club. They still don't get it. Pride is often the mother of arrogance.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah.